Are you tired of being told what to think and how to act? Well, you are not alone. In case you haven't realized it, you have an internal GPS. It knows all you need to know about how to live your life. So it's about time you stopped letting the media and the government tell you what is true for you. In fact, it is exactly that time. It's time to think for yourself. And here to make sure you're doing just that is your host, mediator, author, and lawyer, Carol Gold.
Hi, it's Monday, January 17th. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. First off, my apologies for Friday. I did not post a podcast, and for that, I apologize. I want to talk today about emergencies and what emergencies cause, which is desperation and poor judgment. And I want to go back to 2008 as an example, when the bank bailouts occurred. They occurred because there was a financial crisis and it was global. And an awful lot of companies would have gone under, and maybe, I don't know, maybe the entire world economy would have gone under. I don't know. I wasn't there at the echelons of power, and I'm not in the banking industry. However, the cure that was implemented was nothing more than a Band-Aid. And it was a Band-Aid that made the problem worse. And that problem is now probably about to come crashing down upon us. And so instead of letting banks like Lehman Brothers fail and others, they were bailed out. They were bailed out by the federal government, which means they were bailed out by the taxpayer. And this is what happens when in an emergency, desperation sets in and bad decisions are made. So I was listening the other day to an outtake from the show The View with Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg, and I don't know who else is on that panel. I don't watch the show, but I was watching an outtake from it. And the guest was Kyrsten Sinema, Senator Sinema. And Joy Behar was coming down really hard on the senator about the Voting Rights Act, which, in fact, Kyrsten Sinema was a co-author of. Co-sponsor of that bill. Fortunately, it isn't going to pass, but I want to make a point. Joy Behar raised the very principle, without knowing it, that I just highlighted that happened in 2008. Joy Behar was saying, in response to Kyrsten Sinema's saying that if we take away the filibuster now, if we do away with it, because the Democrats want to pass the Voting Rights Act and some other legislation, then when the Republicans are in power, they'll have the same benefit of overriding the minority because the filibuster will be gone. And the filibuster is there for that very reason, to protect the minority. So Joy Behar, in response to that, said in essence the following. She said, well, yes, I understand that you're weighing one side would have it now and then the other side would have it later. However, she said, but voting is an emergency. Voting is an emergency. So for this legislation, we should make an exception. Now, Kyrsten Sinema, with whom I disagree politically a great deal, but I give her credit because I do believe she is a thoughtful and a well-intentioned person. She just sees solutions to problems differently than I do. Her response was that the filibuster is simply a tool, and a tool is neutral. It's all about how you use it. It's not about the tool itself. It's kind of like a gun, right? A gun is an inanimate object. It's how you use it that matters. So how do you, in essence, Joy Behar was saying, look, this is an emergency. We're desperate. We need to pass this. We need to make an exception to the Constitution. We need to abolish the filibuster. We have to do anything we can to pass this bill and make it law. And that's a really dangerous position to be in. And it's a dangerous philosophy to have. Because if everything that whoever is in power deems an emergency gets to override foundational principles, then you're always going to wind up with something akin to a dictatorship, because you're always going to wind up with the party in power forcing upon the minority whatever it is the majority wants. So how do you combat desperation? And I wanted to talk about this because I think as a nation, we feel pretty desperate right now. Desperate because of COVID, desperate because of the political nonsense that's going all around us, desperate because the border is wide open, desperate because the job situation is not good, desperate because we are all concerned about the economy going forward. There are reasons why people feel desperate right now, and they're not illusionary or conspiratorial. They're real. They're facts. There's numbers. There's data on all those issues as to why genuine concern is appropriate. And when there aren't realistic solutions to those problems, then those concerns can move on to desperation. So how do you combat desperation? Well, first of all, you have to have principles that are preformed, principles that are there, so in place, so that when an emergency does happen, you already know what to do because you already know what is right and you know what is wrong. You know what is acceptable and what is unacceptable. Because if you don't have those foundational principles set like stone within you, then you're going to be subject to the whims and the winds of whatever is going on at the center of that cyclonic kind of emergency. The German people, they're a great example. Germany after World War I was desperate. They had lost the First World War. Germans hardly recognized their country. There were 3 million Germans killed in World War I. 15% of Germany's men had been killed in World War I. They were forced to become a republic instead of a monarchy. And they were humiliated by their nation's loss. And then, of course, the Treaty of Versailles came along and ordered Germany to reduce its military and to take responsibility for World War I. They had to relinquish some of their territory. They paid exorbitant reparations to the Allies, and they were prevented from joining the League of Nations, which was the precursor to the UN. So the German people were in a state of desperation post-World War I. When people are in that state, they are ripe. And what are they ripe for? They're ripe for someone to tell them who to blame for their suffering and what to do about the people who are to blame. I want to digress for a moment because I want to read you two paragraphs from a speech that Michael Douglas gave in the movie The American President. In that speech, he refers to someone named Bob Rumson. Bob Rumson is the senator in the movie who is going to run against Michael Douglas's character, who is the current president. So in the next election, up for the next 4 years for Michael Douglas, Bob Rumson is going to run against them. And in leading up to that, Rumson is out there stumping for the nomination of his party. And he's saying things about the president's girlfriend. The president is not married in the movie. He's widowed. But here's the excerpt. And I'm going to substitute Joe Biden for the name Bob Rumson. And I want you to listen to this carefully. Quote, America isn't easy. America is advanced citizenship. You gotta want it bad, because it's gonna put up a fight. It's gonna say, you want free speech? Let's see you acknowledge a man whose words make your blood boil, who's standing center stage and advocating at the top of his lungs that which you would spend a lifetime opposing at the top of yours. You want to claim this land as the land of the free? Then the symbol of your country cannot just be a flag. The symbol also has to be one of its citizens exercising her right to burn that flag in protest. Now show me that, defend that, celebrate that in your classrooms. And the quote goes on, we have serious problems to solve, and we need serious people to solve them. And whatever your particular problem is, I promise you, Joe Biden is not the least bit interested in solving it. He is interested in two things, and two things only: making you afraid of it and telling you who's to blame for it. That, ladies and gentlemen, is how you win elections." End quote. Before I read the excerpt from the speech, the last thing I said to you was that when people are desperate, as the Germans were, as I believe we are, they are ripe for someone to tell them who to blame and what to do about it. And that's exactly what was in that speech. And that's exactly what Joe Biden has been doing. This administration has been pointing at people, the unvaccinated, the uncooperative, the Republicans, the great unwashed, the deplorables, you name it. The white supremacists, the homeland terrorists, parents who are just trying to advocate for their children in schools. This administration has blamed group after group after group for what you are experiencing. And they want you to hate those people, to blame those people, to cause those people grief, to cancel them, to not let them enter restaurants, to not let them have jobs, to not let them work for the federal government. Whatever it is, that's what's been going on. That's part of the divide and conquer mentality. So what do we do about it? Well, I've talked before in other podcasts about the woman Paulina, a Polish woman who helped hide Jews during World War II. And when asked how the righteous who cared for the Jews, who hid them, who fed them, how did they become righteous? Her response was, "We didn't suddenly become righteous. We just refused to go off the cliff with everyone else." That's what we have to do. We have to refuse to go off the cliff with the Joe Bidens, with the people, no matter what party they're in, no matter what position of power they're in, no matter where they are in Hollywood or where they are in Silicon Valley, where they are in Wall Street. We have to refuse as individuals to go off the cliff with those people. We Americans are blessed. We are blessed, but we are spoiled. It reminds me of the Torah in the Bible, where God says the Jews are, they're his chosen, but they're a stiff-necked people. Well, we Americans are a blessed people and a spoiled people. We are creatures of habit as humans, but as Americans, we are used to life as we have known it, which is better than life in 99.9% of the rest of the world. We are used to abundance. We are used to our grocery stores being filled. We are used to fuel not being exorbitant in price or rationed out. We are used to a standard of living higher than most of the rest of the world. But as we begin to see that abundance and our expectations around it decrease, will our mentality become like those Germans who want someone to blame their struggle on and their suffering? And therefore want them to pay for causing the struggle and the suffering? You know, I also recently watched a clip of Rahm Emanuel. If you don't know who he is, Rahm Emanuel was the Democratic mayor of Chicago from, I think it was 2011 to 2019. He was Obama's chief of staff from 2009 to 2010 or 11, and he was an Illinois congressman before all of that. Rahm Emanuel said on an interview that you can catch on YouTube, quote, "You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. What I mean by that is it's an opportunity to do the things you think you could not do before," end quote. Isn't that what Joy Behar was saying on The View? Voting is an emergency. Voting rights are an emergency. It's an opportunity to do something you couldn't do before. Get rid of the filibuster. Step all over the Constitution. It's an emergency. Fire, fire, pants on fire. Well, you know what? Voting has always been at the forefront of the founders' minds. It goes all the way back to the drafting of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It has always been important. It has always been a high priority item. But it's not suddenly an emergency. And it's certainly no cause to throw out the Constitution and to abandon and abolish the filibuster. I mean, it isn't going to happen because Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin, who's the senator from West Virginia, will not support it. They won't support Build Back Better. They won't support the Voting Rights Act for the right reason. They're both troubling legislation. If you don't know it, not that it matters now because it isn't going to pass, but that Voting Rights Act was going to federalize our election system. The Constitution specifically structures our voting system so as not to federalize it. That act in and of itself would have been unconstitutional had it eventually gotten to the Supreme Court. Fortunately, it won't. But here's the thing, and this is where I started with how do you deal with an emergency. You can't wait for the emergency to form the foundation for what you believe or what things for which you will take a stand. We have to have those things in place for when the emergency occurs. There's something else interesting that Rahm Emanuel said about emergencies. He said the silver lining is that the problems are big enough in an emergency that they lend themselves to ideas from both parties for the solution. Now, clearly that's not what's happening today. What's happening today is left versus right, Democrat versus Republican, us versus them. In fact, Rahm Emanuel said back in that same interview, in talking about energy production, he said, independence and alternatives is what we are working on, meaning the Obama administration. Independence and alternatives. Well, clearly back then, we could call that a Democratic centrist position. The current administration completely defied that. The moment he was in office, Biden issued as his first executive order, cutting the XL pipeline. And he catapulted us in 9 months from being, in fact, energy independent to total dependence on OPEC. Right now, it is the Democrats that are intractable and corrupted. But the same thing will be true when the Republicans are in power. In fact, there's a recent finding that both parties have corrupted the voter rolls in almost all the states. So, as always, my message is fundamentally the same message. It's up to you and it's up to me not to go off the cliff with everybody else. To know what our principles are, to stand for those principles, to refuse to be enticed or seduced into abandoning those principles, to fly on a plane without a mask, to visit another country without a vaccine, to eat in a restaurant without a mask, to participate in speech without being canceled, defamed, or shunned. That's my job. That's your job. That's what we were born for. This is the battle of our lives, and we are prepared, each and every one of us. The day you were born was the day God said, the world cannot continue without you. You matter. That's why you're here. Thanks for listening. I'm Carol Gold, and I'll be back here again on Wednesday. Until then, by all means, think for yourself.
Carol thanks you for spending your valuable time with her. It is her mission to empower you to remember how smart and capable you are. Be sure to check out Carol's website, carolgold.com. That's Carol with an E, gold.com. Please leave a review and subscribe here so you'll be alerted to Carol's next podcast. Until then, above all else, remember, it's time to think for yourself.